It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show on this Tuesday. Jim McKinney and Michael Loudon sitting in for Jeremy as he takes a well-deserved vacation. Later on this hour, we'll talk with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker about what it's been like during the recess and how she finds campaigning in a brand-new state Senate district. For those of you who have kind of been hiding under a rock, or if you just don't know, the state Senate districts were reapportioned, and Senator Shoemaker will now represent, if she is elected again, and I'm going to imagine she probably will be, Van Buren County, parts of Allegan County, and then part of Kent County as well. Kalamazoo County is a district unto itself, where we have Sean McCann, state representative, state representative Margaret O'Brien, and former state representative Lawrence Wanky are the three big candidates that are running. Sean, of course, is a Democrat, Margaret a Republican, and Mr. Wanky is a Libertarian. So those are the three. Although I think I don't know, do either one of McCann or O'Brien, do they have a challenge in the primary?
I don't think so.
I think that Wanky was going to run against Margaret and then move to the Libertarian, and so he's going to run on a separate party. So I think it's just the main election, but we'll find out. Nonetheless, we have our own state Senate district, so we'll talk with Tanya about things that are going on in and around the campaign trail, what recess has been like, and what the state legislature is going to do when they go back. You know, they have anything on their agenda that they're going to, you know, smack around a little.
I would say Rhodes should be at the top of the
probably,
list.
Probably, and, you know, I may ask her about the war bonds idea just for giggles because, you know, it's interesting. The majority of the people we talked to yesterday said, you know, that's okay, we can fix the initial stuff, but we've got to have something in place in perpetuity to continue maintaining the roads. And we're actually going to talk about roads and some other stuff in a little bit on a article that we found on thebridge.com concerning Pure Michigan. Or maybe unpure Michigan, as the case may be. Do want to let you know we have movie tickets to give away. I have 2 4-packs for the movie Earth to Echo, which is kind of an E.T.-ish kind of movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's a family movie, so we have 2 4-packs for that. We'll give those away. And we have a pair of tickets to Tammy, starring Melissa McCarthy, who is very funny, by the way. Very, very funny. She was hilarious in Bridesmaids. I recommend, don't see it with kids because it's kind of a rough movie, but Identity Theft is really, really funny. Michael, you got to talk for a second because I got to move the fan. See, okay. We have a fan in here.
Yeah, it's always in the way.
It's in the way all the time.
You can't see me.
And there, see, now I can see you. This is good. Now I can see your smiling face. But it gets a little warm in this room, and so we have to have the fan blowing in order to tolerate it a little bit. Anyway. Getting back, Melissa McCarthy. So we'll have tickets. So be listening for our call for you to run to the phones and win some tickets. So last night, Kalamazoo City Commission, and there's a WKZO tinge to this, and I will tell you in a second. Voters will have the opportunity to possibly change how they select the mayor and city commissioners in Kalamazoo. This has reared its ugly head on several occasions. You know, we talked about it yesterday. Changing the way that they vote, possibly installing wards or districts or whatever, that has come up too. There are 5 proposals that are going to be on the ballot in November that city residents are going to have to vote on. And here are the questions. Should the mayor's office be elected separately from the office of city commissioners every 2 years? Should the city charter be amended to elect city commissioners to staggered 4-year terms? Now, this is the one that is kind of confusing. Should the election of vice mayor to be the city commission candidate who receives the most votes in the regular municipal election for a 2-year term? That's a little confusing. Now, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Does that mean that every 2 years when we have an election, okay?
You want an explanation of the vice mayor thing?
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so John McNeil, our intrepid news director, joins us, who, by the way, made comments at last night's meeting and came off sounding really intelligent here. This is
amazing.
Not that you wouldn't, but I was impressed.
Are you surprised?
Given the who wrote the article?
Yeah.
Maybe. Let me ask. Okay, so they're going to stagger the election. So does that mean every 2 years when they have the 4-year that the top vote getter gets to be the vice mayor?
Yeah,
so they would
it's
swap
the
out the
top vote getter of the three who ran.
Okay, so they would swap out the vice mayor every 2 years too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I think is a little strange.
Okay.
That's
now,
just me.
Let's while you're in here. Okay, let me mention the other one. Should vacancies in a city commission be filled by popular election? What I guess that would mean is if there's a city commissioner who decides they're going to run for mayor, there would be a vacancy. Would you then have an election to fill that, or would the commission fill it?
That's, well, what's going to happen is the fourth person in the queue would get the seat instead. All right.
Or, well, and then I guess this is an overall vacancy. So this would be if a commissioner resigned or passed away or something like that, should they have a special election, or as they do now, commission fills
a lot
it,
of
right?
A lot of it is determined by state rules. If it's within 60 okay. days of an election, it depends on the timing,
okay.
basically. But a lot of the local districts do the same thing. We've seen it over and over again in the school district
yeah.
in the past year, as a matter of fact, where appointments are made to fill out terms, and it's become a fairly yeah. routine thing for them.
So you and David Anderson each have an oar in this boat, according to the comments that were made.
Well, apparently a lot of the former mayors and former city officials in Kalamazoo also written the city commissioners opposed to it. Apparently, because they also lived through it and experienced. Now the mayor says, in defense of this, basically that essentially the kind of issues they're dealing with these days are long term fiscal issues that need long term
commissioners. Okay,
but Anderson pointed out that. Most of the commissioners who are sitting on the commission right now have been there for,
yeah.
a great deal longer than four years.
I will admit that for an extended period of my life, I was indirectly involved because I happened to be married to, the vice mayor and city commissioner for a long time. So you could see, there wasn't a lot of turnover. The last time there was a lot of turnover was when we were discussing when the late Robert Jones and Hannah and Linda Teeter, and there was who else? It was somebody else. Was it Don Coney?
Yeah.
Four people were elected. I think that's the last time we've had turnover like that on a city
and
commission.
And that was really the instigation for the Charter Commission
to
changes proposals back in 1998. They were fearful of this loss of institutional memory, this new loss of experience on the board, this rapid turnover, and it turned out fine.
I was going to say, I didn't see any bumps in the road. I mean, they may have had them, but they were disguised for quite a while. They had a bunch of people who were elected who hit the ground running.
Well, they were concerned about it, and that's why they proposed these changes in the first place. And it just, it hasn't really been an issue.
Well, as a person who I guess believes in the voters saying yes or no, I guess it's fine, to do it. And at the same time, it's like you said, if it ain't broke, why fix it? We've been doing this for a long, long time, and it seems to have been working fine. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I'm really going to wait and see if third party organizations are going to pop in with their opinions on whether or not it should happen or not. So,
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a healthy trend simply because it almost automatically means you're going to have a lower voter turnout, and you're going to have less interest in the elections. And from a personal point of view, as a news guy, who covers local politics, I want people to be interested in it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, the proposal, and I'm gonna defend her because this is the way they do it in Portage, and they seem to do a pretty good job of it. And that was Barb Miller proposing that the vice mayor be chosen by commissioners. I don't see a problem with that. Now, they didn't receive any support, but they do that, and they picked the mayor pro tem in Portage once the council seated. I guess that would avoid the confusion of the election, but...
Well, Barb argued last night that the reason she preferred that was because you want to pick somebody who's compatible with the mayor.
Yeah, but that doesn't always work. You might want somebody who's maybe not compatible with the mayor. Not a total oppositionist, but someone who's going to provide a fresh point of view.
Somebody who can work with them.
Working with the mayor. Now, I've seen that, and I will, it was like I said, it was, you have that front row seat. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but publicly there was a while where that happened.
And there's also an issue when, when the voters pick somebody who is the vice mayor who isn't willing to be the vice mayor doesn't have the time to be vice mayor, you've got a problem.
And that can happen because
having the commission pick the person who's the vice mayor can alleviate that problem because you can have people who nominate each other, volunteer. Or,
I think it'll be funny to see if all five pass or if they piecemeal pass. You know, what happens if they, you know, the mayor should be separate and, you know, amended for city commissions, but voters decide they don't want the vice mayor to be elected every 2 years. Then you're faced with a different, they may have to revisit
the question.
The
question came up last night if there could be unintentional consequences. If there's some strange mix of the five being voted, a lot of them are tie barred, according to the city attorney. And if number one passes and we get a separate election of mayor, it can stand alone.
Okay.
And if the other four fail, then
we could still
go ahead with that.
Okay.
But he seems to think that they have been written so that the dangers of unintentional consequences has
won't
been
happen.
Limited.
Well,
but
Clyde's a lawyer.
That's why they call them unintentional consequences.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Thanks for coming in, John. We appreciate it. And it was nice that you were quoted nicely. It was.
For a change.
For a change. Slapping at one of our media rivals here a little bit. No, I was impressed. This is a very, very succinct article, and I think that it's not going to be a high priority issue on the ballot, but I think that they will go out of their way to make sure the voters know exactly what's going on. But, you know, I don't have any problem with them saying, let's put it on the ballot.
Let the voters decide.
Yeah, let the voters decide, and then we'll go from there. So are we really as pure Michigan as we think we are? We will see. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about tax cuts and how that may have an effect on just how pure Michigan is. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. It's Michael Loudon. It's Jim McKinney sitting in for Jeremy on this Tuesday, 78 right now at 590 WKZO.
Bringing you the tools you need to face your day, including traffic.
Bad traffic makes me late for work and picking up my kids from school.
590 WKZO. WKZO.com. AccuWeather forecast.
Cloudy skies this afternoon with a shower or thunderstorm in spots. High 77. Clearing and comfortable for tonight. Low 57. For tomorrow, sunshine and clouds with a shower. High 73. Thursday, high 76. I'm AccuWeather's Andy Robb.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
.590 WKZO, 78 in Kalamazoo, 77 in Parchment on this Tuesday afternoon. Jim and Michael holding forth on the Jeremy Lawrence Show. It is 21 after the hour of 3, and I don't know about you, but I really am impressed by the Pure Michigan campaign, have been for a while. You hear Tim Allen's voice, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right.
It's so soothing,
too. He can
too.
Make Alpina sound good, and he has, too, by the way. They've done a commercial on it. It was awesome. You know, for a city to be nicknamed the Cement City, you got to go a ways.
Yes.
But it was awesome. They can make anything sound good. But it's an op-ed piece from the Center for Michigan. And I don't know if it's a right wing or left wing or whatever, but it's a think tank. And John Austin wrote a guest commentary about how tax cuts are killing pure Michigan. To use some examples here.
Okay.
My friend. One of the things you imagine the music and Tim Allen and all that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
World's largest freshwater coastline. You see coastline for the Great Lakes going on, and kids jumping into a lake after they go out of a cottage. And number one public university in the country, and you see all the research labs and buildings and see people learning at U of M. Now, Michigan State people would argue there. My daughter, for one, because she goes to State, and I'm a Spartan dad, so, you know, I might say, I don't know about that. We rule in sports. Ha!
Yeah, dang it. Yeah. Well, we have your number in basketball right now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Well, did Michigan State go further than you and them? Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway, there are so many elements to pure Michigan. And, I mean, we could sit here and, for the rest of the show, name places in the state that have been represented by pure Michigan that are awesome. Greenfield Village, the Henry Ford Museum, Sleeping Bear Dunes, Lakeshore, you know, the wine country up and around Van Buren County. Old Mission Peninsula, which I recommend. If you have not been up there, that's got to be in your bucket list. Not Traverse necessarily, but Old Mission Peninsula. Okay. And there is a park at the end with a lighthouse and everything. You have to go. Pictured Rocks, Tonquamenon Falls, Hiawatha National Forest.
The Mackinac Bridge.
The Mackinac Bridge, which, you know, if you've never read the book on the building the Mighty Mac, you really ought to, because that it almost didn't get built because of political comments and shenanigans and whatnot. You know, Lansing, for that matter. Kalamazoo. I don't care what Grand Rapids says. They just think they're Beer City USA. We are.
We are, yes.
We are. Besides, we have better restaurants. Well, okay, I'll say it's a tie because I've been up there too. But and Grand Rapids, for that matter, and the Lake Michigan shoreline, and so and on and on. I mean, we could go all day. However, this gentleman, Mr. Austin, says that because of constant tax cuts, that parts of pure Michigan aren't as pure as they ought to be. AKA, you can't swim in certain lakes because of the E. coli. Well, that's because treatment and enforcement and whatnot has gone down because they can't afford to pay the people who are doing it. So they've cut jobs. I know that they've cut jobs in state parks with park rangers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that our roads are falling apart. Yeah, pure Michigan's a wonderful place, but you're going to lose your struts and your shocks on the way.
Yeah, you can go on any road. Most of them are bad.
The only stretch of road that really isn't bad in the state of Michigan is the Mackinac Bridge. That 5-mile-plus span is just pretty smooth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do a great job. Well, part of it is because if a hole develops, into the drink you go.
Yeah, you don't want to go down there.
And a lot of people don't like to drive on the grate. That green thing in the middle that
I always told my parents to drive on.
I love it.
Yes.
It's cool.
Actually, there's another stretch of road that's not bad. It's my street, about a half mile long, that they just got redone.
Well, and there's a few intersections in and around Portage and Kalamazoo where they're redoing the intersections. Those are nice, too. So, but the majority, the vast majority, stuff like that. So anyway, Mr. Austin in here says that it's a report that was done by, it's called Michigan Dream at Risk. This is a new interactive report and video that this firm, the Michigan, Center for Michigan, I'm thinking. Anyway, here are some of the things that they're talking about that are putting pure Michigan at risk. Worst roads in the nation.
Duh.
As the duh, you know. City services, 4,000 fewer firefighters and police in Michigan communities. So do you feel as safe in pure Michigan as you used to? Maybe not. Children, 16% decline in K-12 investment from 2004 to now, leading to elimination of music, larger classes, our arts and music, larger classes, and diminished quality. And we talked yesterday about the charter schools. Charter schools were brought in to try to become competition for the public schools, and they're no better. Higher education, college tuitions have doubled. It's very expensive to go to college. Maybe not here in Kalamazoo, because we have the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we may be a little island unto ourselves. But still, those who go to private school here in Kalamazoo are going, you know, if you go to Kalamazoo Christian or Kalamazoo Hackett, or if you go to Heritage High School or, you know, whatever, it's going to pinch you. Okay.
Yeah.
Miles of polluted rivers have doubled. Beach closures are up 22% over the last 5 years. Conservation funding down 6% from 2004 to 2014. I know a few people that would add in the fact that our legislature voted in to hunt wolves in there. Or to that it puts a negative spin on the state. Okay? You know, that kind of thing. And rightly so. That's a possibility. Biggest fall of family incomes in the nation. We've fallen from 19th to 37th in the nation in personal income in the last 10 years. There's plenty to blame to go around. The biggest culprit, they say, was not the Great Recession, but the wrong-headed belief that cutting taxes improves the economy. Okay. That you might say yes or no on that one. I'm not so sure. But I think some of these are true. You know, if you're going to have people come to this state and you're going to have people enjoy the fruits of Michigan, it would be nice to get them there without rattling the fillings out of their teeth. That's the big one, I think, to me.
That or getting their car repaired along the way.
The roads, I think, are the big thing. And that seems to be on the mind of most state lawmakers. They just can't get their act together, Republican, Democrat, tree hugger, whoever, to figure out how we're going to do it. And I think that's the issue. Hey, Chris, you're going to call me again, even though you didn't want me to live yesterday?
I didn't say I want you to live. I didn't want you to live.
Oh, I thought...
Did I missed the heartbreak, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. No, actually, we got about 2.5, maybe 3 minutes.
All right.
So I can talk to you long enough to hit the heartbreak. How's that?
I'm listening to you on delayed uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
Sounds different. I'm listening.
It is, isn't it? It's fun. All right, so let me ask you, okay, do you think that the tax cuts are killing pure Michigan?
No.
Okay. But would you agree with me, though, that the roads are probably the first priority? It'd be nice when people come here from Illinois and Indiana, Ohio, and all those places, not to have their teeth rattled.
Expenditure, yeah. But you know, if we're really concerned about our citizens, we probably need to create employment.
See, I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, we do need jobs.
I think a lot of those jobs, if we're added, could probably assist in making the state better, you know, economically, like you said. But, you know, some of these jobs would end up being in, like, conservation or helping build the roads again, or, you know what I mean?
Renewable energy jobs.
Renewable energy and things like, yeah. You know, or even, for that matter, maximizing the energy resources we have here in the state.
Sure, but all that, you know, I guess tax revenues go up, not by raising taxes, but by employing more people. When you broaden the base of taxation, you do a much better job of raising revenues than taxing, you know, a few people more.
See, as an English teacher, I can agree with his math. The more people that are employed, the more money you're going to get in tax coffers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, and I don't think anybody can argue with that. That is true.
And what I see is most of the rationale and for lowering taxes is to generate more employment situations, to bring employers to the state. I mean, I think the guys from Southwest Michigan or Michigan Employment, whatever that group that used to come on all the time.
Southwest Michigan First.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would say the same thing, that we need to create an opportunity for them to go out and bring people to the state not by giving them specific tax incentives, but by providing an environment where their business can stay.
See, now I would agree with that, but sometimes the numbers don't always prove that, and I think that's where people zero in, is if the tax cuts are supposed to be really improving our economy, that would be fine. But I guess my interjection into this would be, we need to start working on our infrastructure, because companies aren't going to want to come here if the roads are so bad.
We do, but a lot of our money and this is one thing that I've always argued, is that when we have a highway bill or we budget for our roads, parks and bike paths and, you know, all that other stuff is thrown in. So, you know, if we say we're going to spend $1 billion on the roads, we only spend $600 million on the roads.
You hit the heartbreak. You are my hero. Heartbreak Chris does it again. Thanks, man. Have a good day, all right? Yo, Chris has got a point. Jobs are important. We'll talk about this again after the break. CBS News next, 590 WKZO. 590 WKZO. Did I catch you talking while you weren't supposed to? Okay. Just thought I'd ask. Calum's Jeremy Lawrence Show, by the way, brought to you in part by Heritage Christian Academy, your local pre-K 12th grade school where faith turns friends into family. And we are joined by 5th District Kalamazoo County Commissioner Julie Rogers. Good morning or afternoon or whatever.
Do you know what time it is, Jim?
No, I don't.
No, he has no idea.
We have had issues the last couple of days.
You have to just.
Are you working around the clock?
No. No, no. Tim is filling in the morning, and I'm here in the afternoon. But I have to tell you, I get up every morning at 3 o'clock.
No matter what?
No matter what.
Pre-programmed.
It happens. But in this case, I just roll over and go back to sleep.
Well, you can take that opportunity to go exercise.
Not at 3 o'clock in the morning. No.
Yeah, go do some running like me.
No, Michael.
I was actually running by the studio this morning at 6 a.m., and I saw McNeil come out. I waved. I think he was like, who is that? Who's following me?
Yes. My idea about running at 3 o'clock in the morning? No thank you very much.
Only
we're not going to do that. Yeah. All right, so tell us a little bit about what's happening countywide here.
Well, we have an exciting thing going on tomorrow. I've been serving on the county's brownfield for 7 years now. I was actually a private citizen serving on the brownfield board authority before I became a county commissioner. And one of our exciting new projects, additions to Midlink Business Park, the old GM stamping plant out there, is General Mills facility. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited. They worked through the winter to build this new cold storage facility. It's 155,000 square feet and most excitingly put 27 jobs in out there.
All right.
So another win-win kind of public-private partnership. The county brownfield helped with doing some tax increment financing for some of the cleanup costs. And then I understand Comstock Township put in a 10-year tax abatement. I think you guys were talking about mm-hmm. tax abatements earlier yes. on the radio. And I agree with you. And it makes sense. And when we can create jobs and when the project actually does what it says it's going to do, it's a win-win. But we learned the hard way. We actually ended up putting some clawback clauses in to make some teeth into our projects to say if the company, if the developer doesn't actually do what they are promising to do, then we can recoup some of the money.
Oh, so there we go. That's cool.
Yeah, so the ribbon cutting's at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And
public invited?
Yes.
That
very,
is cool. It's nice to know that General Mills will go someplace other than Battle Creek.
That's right.
You know, because they're, of course, one of the cereal makers.
That's right.
But General Mills owns a lot more.
Yeah, so it's a cold storage facility. I think they're going to actually be doing yogurt.
Oh, there you
mostly.
Go. Wow, very nice. Talking with Kalamazoo County Commissioner Julie Rogers. All right, so you, let me ask you a question. You don't have any opposition for the primary.
Correct.
So when do you start actively campaigning for re-election?
The answer is I never stop.
There you go. See, that's, I knew.
There we
See,
go.
There we go. That's
so always raising money. Unfortunately, we are re-elected every 2 years, so just kind of keep on rolling. Last year, I was one of the only county commissioners to actually go door-to-door with a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, you know, with our news media outlets changing and not getting the Gazette every day, it's kind of hard for people to be keeping tabs on what's going on. So a lot of people really appreciated the county newsletter that I did. And then I also am the only commissioner holding quarterly coffees. So the public is always invited. You can check my website, www.juliemrogers.com for the next one. I think it's going to be in August at Ashmo Park.
And you can come on here anytime you want.
Thanks.
So especially
Thanks.
In the morning, because you know what? She brings us food, which
That's
is really
right.
nice.
That's right.
Let me ask you a real quick question before we have to let you cook, because we have to talk to Bob Larson, our AccuWeather dude. If people want to get a hold of you, whether you're, you know, talk to you about anything, countywide, campaign, you know, whatever, where can they go?
Yep. They can visit my website. My email's on there too. So julie@juliemrogers.com. They can also, we are always looking forward to people attending our county meetings. Those are first and third Tuesday of every night, or every, sorry, first and third Tuesday of every month, 7 o'clock at the county building. Otherwise, on my website, my other contact information is on there too.
Now, before we let you go, I have to ask, this is going to be one of the biggest turnovers in the county commission since you went from 9 to 17.
It
so
is.
What is it exciting or is it a little?
it's a little of both. I think turnover and having some new blood. I mean, I was new blood. It's my first term, you know, and bring fresh ideas. However, it's a little bit scary when over 50% is the turnover and our leadership is gone, both the chair and the vice chair. So it's going to be a big shakeup.
Yeah, well, then that means the new people are going to move their way up.
That's
and it
right.
could be you. You never
that
know.
That could be.
It could be. Fifth District, Kalamazoo County Commissioner Julie Rogers, thank you.
Thank
so
you.
So much for coming in. Come out to the ribbon cutting. It is tomorrow.
Yep, 11
Midlink
o'clock.
Park, 11 o'clock.
All right.
And see another business in Kalamazoo, which is really cool.
Awesome.
So, have a wonderful day. And
you too.
We'll see you again soon. Probably a little earlier, I'm guessing. Yeah, I know.
We can
see,
do that.
You're shaking your head just like I do. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll have to drag her in here.
Yeah, we can do that.
Hey, I'm a busy person, physical therapist, elected official. I get it. So
I know.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Robert, how are you?
All right, Jim. How are you?
We're busy, but we're having fun and enjoying the weather. 79 degrees, and we've got a breeze of about 10 miles an hour, and we had a monsoon earlier today, but it's gone.
We did. It's gone. You remember that dew point we talked yesterday? At this time, it was 69.
Yeah.
Had been as high as 72 earlier yesterday.
Yes.
It's now down to 60.
Okay.
Boom.
There
we go.
I'll take that. 60 for a dew point is all right.
In July, yes.
Yeah, especially in July.
And probably going to be even lower tomorrow and Thursday.
You are the man. All right. I'll even give you another one.
Bob,
I haven't
really
given
you
two dings in a while.
Yeah, the bells are ringing.
So what do we have as far as, I mean, because we've gotten socked with rain. Are people going to get a break over the next several days, or does it look like we might have another system on the way?
Yes and no. How's that for a definitive
Thanks,
answer?
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, I like the wishy-washiness of your answer.
Meteorologist.
Yeah.
Way to nail it down.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Let me explain. I don't see any other thunderstorm complexes coming through with heavy rain and whatnot, similar to some of the downpours we had earlier today and pre-dawn yesterday. But I do see a scattering of showers can come through and maybe a few rumbles of thunder. That could be as soon as this evening, tracking an area of showers. It's mostly showers. There are a couple of thunderstorms in Wisconsin right now. They're headed southeastward. Much of that will dissipate before getting here, but I do believe parts of southwest lower Michigan will be getting wet yet this evening as this area moves in. And there could be a stray shower that pops up tomorrow. Best chance that would be afternoon, but I think only scattered. And then both Thursday and Friday look to be dry. There might be a slight chance of something Saturday afternoon, better chance of a shower storm on Sunday. So I don't see a prolonged stretch of dry weather, but all in all, it's looking better when it comes to rainfall the next few days as the showers will become more scattered, more few and far between.
So now that the weather has changed a little bit, has it changed also what the word is going to be?
Yeah, the word is reduction.
Okay, I like that.
It's a reduction in dew point, therefore a reduction in humidity, and clearly a reduction in temperature, both by day and by night, dropping into the 50s tonight, maybe lower 50s tomorrow night. A little break for the AC. Daytime highs will be generally in the 70s the next 2 days before bouncing back to 80 or above again Friday and through the weekend. It is, after all, July. It is, after all, summer. But for the next couple of days and nights, cooler.
All right. I will take that, Bob.
There you go.
But now we got a 20-mile-an-hour wind gust as we're talking to you, so
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, it's windy behind the front that came through.
That's all right, though. That breeze makes it nice.
It is nice, what I would call a refreshing breeze.
That could have been the word today, too, is refreshing.
Yeah, that works.
All right, that'd be 1A.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, my friend, have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. All right, Bob Larson. Traffic update, Howard Street closed in both directions between Oakland and Crosstown. It is apparently a fire in that area. Fire and police are on the scene, so you are going to want to make note of that and stay off of Howard between Oakland Drive and Crosstown Parkway. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on. Coming up next, we'll talk with State Senator Tanya Shootmaker. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Michael and Jim holding forth on this Tuesday, 590 WKZO. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show on this Tuesday after Thursday. Michael, I'm pushing the week further and further away, you know? It's like Thursday. No, Tuesday. 3:49 WKZO News Time, 79 in Kalamazoo, and we welcome in someone we always like to see, State Senator Tanya Shootmaker. How are you?
Great to be here.
You had a fun day, huh?
I did have a fun day.
She can take a breath now and relax and kind of talk. So you have a whole new campaign strategy, kind of, because you're not going to be our state senator anymore.
That's correct.
I'm sad.
I will miss all the wonderful people I met and represented in Kalamazoo, but my district is changing after the next election, and I'll be running in the new 26th district seat, which will be all of Van Buren County, all of Allegan County, City of Kentwood, and Gaines Township.
Wow. So you got a little bit of Kent. And how has the response been to the new district? Because obviously you've been through it.
I have been actually traveling up there while also maintaining a presence here in Kalamazoo for the last 3 to 4 years. And it has been a wonderful response. A lot of great people up in my new district. And fortunately, in my new district, we had the tornado go through.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. But I did 4th of July parades up there this year. And,
oh, very nice.
So it's, and I've been up knocking on doors as well.
I was going to say, what have you been busy doing during the recess?
Well, knocking on doors, answering, you know, just because we're not in Lansing
doesn't mean
the constituent emails do not stop. Mm-hmm. We still deal with a great number of constituent emails, questions, services. So we still service, and I've been still have the office in downtown Kalamazoo, which I've been at quite a lot.
Are you hearing that roads are the number one priority, or is there something else that's really ringing a bell while you've been out?
Yeah, I think people are kind of split, which kind of reflects the legislature. Some people say use the money you have to fund the roads. Others say fix the roads. We don't understand why the roads haven't been fixed. I can tell you, you know, I can only speak for myself. I was trying to be part of that solution when we took that vote to increase revenues, because I think while you could probably easily come up with some of the money, you can't come up with it every year for the next 10 or 20 years, which is really what the investment that our roads require.
Now, we were talking off the air about this idea of the war bonds being kind of transferred into transportation bonds. And I guess yesterday we got phone calls, Michael and I got phone calls about people that were like, we're not so sure because it's a one-time deal. Well, you know, not knowing everything that you know, would something like that, though, all right, and we'll take the optimistic view, say that the state sold $2 billion. If the state was given $2 billion of seed money to start fixing the roads, that can't be a bad idea. I mean,
yeah, well, first thing I would like to see from the federal government is that all the dollars that we send to Washington, we get back.
That would be nice.
Because right now I think we only get, 94 cents, 96 cents on the dollar of all the taxes we send. I think that's a little unfair and unjust. I think we should make sure that every dollar we send to Washington, we get back. And I also think with the federal government that, there's a lot of waste I see at the federal government that, they should really cut out the waste before they go raising any new revenues.
Okay. We're talking with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker. It's nice enough to stop in and talk with us today. One of the things that I found interesting is what do you call it, institutional memory, mm-hmm. and we don't of course we have term limits here, but does it appear that the state legislature, if everything goes status quo with the election, which we all know doesn't always happen, if it does go status quo, do you see a good number of veteran lawmakers coming back, and so we're not going to have to deal with a situation where maybe a lot of freshmen are kind of running around getting their feet wet, where we actually, when you get reelected and you come back to Lansing, you've got a really good base to work with?
I certainly hope so. A lot will be decided in primaries, both on the Republican side and also the Democratic side. Really that's, in some races, that's where the election is won, is at the primary race. And I would like to see more voter turnout when it comes to the August election. Also on the August election, we have Proposal 1, which I think is very important. It's the personal property tax, which eliminates the personal property tax for many businesses without a tax increase on Michigan residents. So.
And that seems to be getting bipartisan approval, and that's something that doesn't always happen.
That's correct. There's bipartisan approval. There's not one single group out there, including the Michigan Municipal League and the townships, that are not supporting this. They all support it, and I think that's good. And they're kind of handed out at the local level, and this will eliminate a lot of cumbersome, burdensome paperwork on everyone's level.
I'm talking with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker of the, is it the 21st district now?
It's the 20th
now, but
I'm,
it's going to be
in
the
26th.
Yeah, so she'll leave us, which is sad. But it is kind of exciting. This election is really, I mean, you look at all the levels from state on down to local, and Kalamazoo County is kind of a lightning rod for elections that I think are going to be difference makers. And I think voters in Kalamazoo County may not realize just how important this is. You're going to elect a new state senator. We're going to elect two state representatives. And as we just mentioned with Julie Rogers, this will be the election with more turnover on the Kalamazoo County Commission we've had since it went from 9 to 17. So I think voters out there, starting with the primary, are really going to have a lot of important decisions to make. And that just doesn't happen every day in every county.
Absolutely. Kalamazoo will be the epicenter probably for the whole state in terms of the races here.
And I'm knocking on wood, okay, because I know I'm saying this now, probably jinx things. We have a tendency to have more, not honorable elections, but more peaceful. In other words, there's not a lot of, finger pointing going on. Our elections are a little more, what do they call it?
West Michigan nice.
Yeah, West Michigan nice. Thank you.
There we go.
Yes, yeah, I like that. I really do. There's not a lot of consternation going around. They argue the issues and they argue, but there's not a lot of personal attacks, and there's not, except from by third party outside.
Right.
And I think that really distinguishes this area from a lot of areas. I can remember, I think it was like four years ago, the county next door to us had the third nastiest election when Tim Walberg and Mark Schauer ran against mm-hmm. you for the U.S. Rep. It was one of the worst. It was the worst in Michigan. We don't have that problem here. And I think it's a feather in the cap of, like, you and Margaret and Sean and Eric and all of our area lawmakers that, it's politics, but it's, you don't have to get nasty to know it.
Well, I think everyone has been a great person, and I think it's just how we approach the issues that differ, and we are all about finding solutions. And so I, I go back to the race that I ran with former Mayor Jones, who I'll always call, and every time we saw each other, we gave each other a big hug. Now, we differed on how to best turn the state around and to find those solutions, but it was never personal or it was never malicious. And I'd say he was a good friend of mine.
Yeah, and see, and that's, you can't say that about every – I mean, again, we have elections north of us that have gotten nasty already. I always thought it was interesting that the day after Justin Amash was elected, that somebody announced they were going to run against him in the next election. I mean, jeez, isn't that taking a little bit too far? I mean, you know, it gets to be that way. And I just, it's very nice to know that we're, you know, I cannot think of the word. You know, as an English teacher, you think, civilized. That's what it was, civilized.
There you go.
You know, that it doesn't have to turn nasty. And it's like, you guys want to watch us and see how this is how it's supposed to be
done.
Yeah,
if only other areas.
Well, it's
kind of
like, I remember a great attorney once told me that you should go into the courtroom and argue the issues vehemently, but you should walk out at the end of the day as friends. And, and I think that's what's missing in Washington is they've stopped, Republicans and Democrats have stopped kind of talking to each other outside the Beltway.
And
so,
that's not
that's
good.
Sad.
If people want more information about Tanya Shoemaker, where can they go?
Well, it depends. If they want me in my official capacity, as they have a constituent need or issue they want to talk to me about, they can email me at my official address, which is senttshoemaker@senate.mi.gov. They can also call toll-free to my office, which is 866-305-2120. Campaign-wise, if they want to get involved in my campaign, they can just Google Tanya Shoemaker campaign and votetanya.com.
Now, and that there's a list of where you're going to be and places you're going to go and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then is there a place where they have the hours for your Kalamazoo office in case people
my
want
Kalamazoo
to get a hold
of you? Office is usually open most days, 9 to 5. Occasionally, I do have a person, and I only have a staff of one, so some days she does take a vacation day here and there, but not much.
She's allowed to. So, well, it is so nice for you to stop in, because I know today has been a little taxing.
I was down in Berrien County touring Lake Michigan College, and they have a new kind of off what Walla Walla, Washington did, which was to take and really enhance the agricultural heritage and create a winter class.
Oh, very
and,
nice.
That's kind of what they were kind of showing us is they want to start training people in or carring them in from Chicago and making sure that they can have like wine classes and enhance our the number of wine and spirit companies we have here in the state.
There you go. See, more for Michigan. I like this. This is good. As always, it's a pleasure. And the next time I see you up, it'll probably be earlier in the morning. But
Thank you, Jim.
It's so nice to have you in. State Senator Tanya Shoemaker, always a pleasure to have you in. And people are going to think you're lucky because we're going to give something away. We're getting ready close to the top of the hour. Right now, if you're caller number 3 at 382-4280, we have a pair of tickets to Tammy starring Melissa McCarthy. It's a wonderful comedy, but it's not something you want to take the kids to, trust me. So now caller number 3, call Michael now, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. CBS News, and then more of the Jeremy Lawrence Show with Michael Loudon, Jim McKinney on this Tuesday. Coming up, 590 WKZO.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.